The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan. Real money, Kramer. Who, Ryan? How about these NBA playoffs round two? Action has begun. Crazy. We're taping this, of course, on a Wednesday night. Monday night. Crazy double overtime finish between the Spurs and the Golden State Warriors. Man, like we were saying, I think you might have tweeted it out, and we definitely talked about it in the podcast, a lot of value at Golden State plus 600. I was kicking myself for not throwing a little change on Golden State. After they lost, they moved to plus 720. Kicking myself for not doing that, because now they tied up the series. Ryan, you said it off pod. It sounds like Golden State may just be the better team.
I think, so this is what I've taken. We've seen each series play two games, right? And I kind of have, my opinion really hasn't changed since the first game of the series. And that is, I think the Knicks and Pacers are going to go at least six. Do you agree?
Yeah,
seems
I don't
like it's going to be a tight
I don't see
series.
How it's not going to go seven.
Bulls, Heat, as soon as the Bulls won game one, I was like, oh no, they're going to wake the Heat up. The Heat are going to win this 4-1. What do the Heat do? They come out tonight and just, what, they win by 40?
Yeah, they dominated. Apologize for tweeting out that. Yeah. Chicago plus 12.5. Well, I took both underdogs tonight, just knowing that, like, one was definitely going to hit. I was thinking, it felt to me like, I feel like if I would have went with one favorite and one dog, I would have got both wrong. So I figured, go both dogs. There's no way I'm losing both those.
Yeah. So, and then, so Memphis, OKC. After the first game, I felt like this. I felt like this again. I took Memphis. I also took the Knicks, I should point out. But I took Memphis before game one. Thought about putting more after they lost game one because I felt like they were just the better team. Game two kind of showed that. They are really – Marcus Saul and Zach Randolph are just embarrassing Ibaka. Ibaka's taken out of his game. He's got to work so hard to box out Zach Randolph. I honestly think I'm not sure OKC is going to win another game in this series.
Wow.
unless Durant goes crazy, like, because think about it. Game one, Durant has a pretty good game, right? But
yeah.
They get the edge they got really came from Kevin Martin, who kind of played out of his ass compared to what he'd been doing all season. Game two, they kind of got another shocking contribution from Derek Fisher. So I think. You know, it's like these guys can't keep having these games. Plus, Durant needs to play a perfect game. I don't know. I think Memphis could win this. Probably it's going to be six, but I think they could end up winning it in five.
Wow.
I bet on Memphis. I'm not nervous about this at all. I think they're the better team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to hedge both sides here, but I agree with you. I think Memphis is in a position to win, but a series price of the Oklahoma City Thunder at plus 150.
Is that what it is?
That's a little tempting to me because, Ryan.
Nope. Don't like it.
Well, I'll tell you, Here's why I like it.
Okay.
Because if it comes down to a game six. Well, basically, if the Thunder can get it to a Game 7, they're going to have Game 7 at home with the best player on the court. And it seems like in the NBA playoffs, as much as you want to talk about defense, it usually goes to the team who has the best player on the court, and that is, hands down, Durant. Now, yeah, they're going to need some crazy efforts from different role players. But I think to me, it's not crazy that they win one of these next two in Memphis. Now, with the series tied up 2-2, coming back to Oklahoma City, they get a little bit of momentum. They can win game five, and I think they can close it out in game seven.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and you're right. The best player on the court typically is the team that's going to win. Here's the concern. The role player that you really would expect to step up is Serge Ibaka. And like I said, his offensive game is off because he's spending all his energy D'ing up Zach Randolph, boxing him out.
Yeah, no, I mean,
honestly, I thought Nick Collison has played the best of the big men for OKC in terms of stopping Zach Randolph. I think we're seeing why Serge Ibaka, great help defender. He's struggling. He's bigger and more athletic than Zach Randolph, and Zach Randolph can score on him at will.
Memphis just almost has like an old man team. Like they just have these guys.
They do. Tony Allen, Tayshaun Prince,
who's
Mike
Connolly.
Who's
that guy, Evans?
I'm not sure. I don't. Poindexter, maybe?
Rashad? No. Who am I thinking of? The guy
Reggie Evans.
Reggie Evans.
He's not on that team.
Wait, who was
he's
he
on the Nets.
Oh, okay.
It's a good effort, though, Sean. And honestly, you could make the argument that Durant is equal to Gasol plus Randolph. So, and at the end of the day, I think the X factor is they can't keep Mike Conley from, with Derek Fisher playing, they cannot keep Mike Conley from
his
moving.
His shot is so annoying. Derek Fisher is really annoying as a player. And that shot, that just that insanely high arching shot is very annoying.
So
also, how is he still in the league and contributing at a playoff level? I mean, as much as I find him annoying, you got to give the guy credit for that.
Couple quick things on Derek Fisher before we move on. Yes. First of all, everyone hates Derek Fisher. Even Laker fans are starting to hate Derek Fisher. Second of all, You're not feeling good if you're an OKC fan and you hear your head coach say that Derek Fisher is your best perimeter defender right now. Third, do you know how Derek Fisher even ended up back on OKC this year?
No. Wait,
so
he
so
yeah,
Derek
I was
Fisher
gonna say like
twice
I thought he was cut.
Has weaseled out of a contract. The first time from Utah, okay, I get it. Your daughter needs this special medical care. You know, you either have to go to L.A. or New York. I get it. You go back, play with the Lakers. I have no problem with that. So this time, he did the same thing because he actually went and played for the Lakers. On Dallas, weaseled out saying he needed to spend more time with his family. But where does he go back to L.A.? No. Goes, just wanted to weasel off the team that he didn't think had a chance to go back and play for the Thunder.
No, wait. But he was on the Thunder last year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But this was he.
He didn't re-sign with them. I believe he was on Dallas this year.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah, so we can all agree that it's fun to root against Derek Fisher. But yeah, I think Memphis wins this year. So to recap so far, I think Miami wins in five. I think Memphis probably wins in six, but maybe five. So then we talked about the Knicks Pacers, which I think is a pretty even series. Last up, Golden State San Antonio.
Let's do Golden State San Antonio, and then let's get into Miami Bulls.
Do we really need to talk about Miami Bulls?
I think so. Don't think Derrick Rose, if Derrick Rose comes back?
He's not coming back.
You don't think so?
No.
You're not.
They were dogging Derrick Rose on the post-game show yesterday. Did you see the highlights of the Knicks-Pacers game from Tuesday?
Did you
see the Iman Shumpert put-back dunk? So it was kind of a weird, like, brick rebound, and all four Pacers are standing there waiting for the ball to come down, and Shumpert flies through the air. Like, they kept calling it a Vince Carter, like, put back. And they kept talking about Shumpert and how well he's playing, how he came back from the ACL. I was like, I guess he's got confidence in that knee. I guess he's got some muscle memory. So,
he's a guy who needs to get paid. He doesn't have $260 million coming
Derrick Rose is not coming back. And stop it, Sean. Before the playoffs started, you know that there's no one stopping the Heat.
No, I know.
Stop it.
I love this Chicago team, Ryan. You can't.
I do.
They're gritty, blue collar. I mean, how can you not love Joakim Noah? The guy doesn't know how to shoot a basketball, and yet he's entertaining to watch.
Now, look, as a Knicks fan, an optimistic.
Nate Robinson, come on.
I love Nate. He was on the Knicks for a while.
Let's give the Bulls their shine.
No, and that's fine. And
they stole game one.
As a Knicks fan, I'm hoping
Bulls in seven. I'm calling.
I'm hoping that this series goes long. I was excited for the Heat to play the Bulls because the Bulls are going to beat them up.
All right, well, Ryan, let's transition here to the San Diego. Or why do I keep saying San Diego? The Golden State, yeah. San Antonio matchup.
Yeah.
I was looking at the odds, and it looked like the series prices were fairly similar between San Antonio and Miami. The series prices were similar after game one.
Wow.
Now, how does that happen? I mean, Chicago, yeah, granted Chicago won that game, but still, did you really, in your mind, did that feel like an even match?
Just talked about it.
Yeah.
Thought that the Heat were going to win in five, even after they lost game one.
Yeah, and why would that series price, I mean, I get it, there's one, Chicago did win, but still, you got to feel like Golden State.
Two things, right? You have the veteran Spurs, who seem like a machine, versus a young team who's been shooting lights out, and it would seemingly be due to regress, versus a Miami team that people at this point are looking for a reason to pick against. And you have a Bulls team who has historically played them well and just beat them in game one. It's a classic public overreaction both ways. If you're betting the Spurs after game one, you didn't watch game one. If you're betting the Bulls for the series after game one, you have no clue that they woke up LeBron James.
Well, yeah, I think the huge difference was Miami missed a lot of shots that they normally make. I mean, their shooting percentage was very low. They were getting good looks against the Bulls. Not to take away from the Bulls' game one performance, but a lot of that, and to some degree, Chicago does have Miami's number. I mean, they were the team that stopped their 27-game win streak. So I think there is something, and it is personal between this team. And you got to give it up for this Chicago team just maximizing their effort. It does feel like, now Ryan, how does this go down that Golden State feels like the better team and still they were plus 720 going into this game too? I mean, I could see.
I'm always shocked when the home team wins game one, like they're supposed to, and the series price changes. I never understand that. We talked about this. I did bet Golden State. I put a little bit on the plus 600. Was planning on taking more. Got caught up in work and didn't. But again, like you told me, it was plus 720. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the thing. I thought the series price would go down because Golden State gave them such a run for their money. In my head, I thought, oh, okay. Wow, look at this Spurs team got exposed. They had to get it to double overtime just to hang with this San Antonio team.
You know what? The reason they obviously they made a miraculous comeback, but the reason they won in the end was not Stephen Curry getting tired. It was Klay Thompson fouling out.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson is doing an absolutely phenomenal job on Tony Parker.
8 of 9 from the 3-point
Forget
range.
The offense.
And the crazy defense. Mark Jackson said it was the greatest half of basketball of all time.
And what do you have, 29 in the first half?
Yeah, he had 29 points, and he's shutting down a Hall of Famer on the other end.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Tony Parker is clearly bothered by the length. After game one, I kind of agreed with you. I was like, oh, the price might go down. I think Golden State's going to make this. At a minimum, I felt like it was a six-game series after I watched that. Now, with the way they came out and did it again.
How does that game one, what about that game one felt like a fluke? After that game one, I walked away from this series going, this is maybe a coin toss.
The Spurs did miss a lot of shots in the first half that they normally knocked down.
I would have still liked Golden State at like plus 300.
Yeah. And you got to love the fact
who's laying the opposite? Who's laying
no idea.
After game one, who's taking Spurs minus 1,000?
And you got to love the fact that A, they came out, they took the lead again, no problem. And you got to love that they're not on the old man schedule. They're on the, what is tonight? They played Monday, Wednesday, they play again Friday and Sunday. As opposed to the schedule for OKC, Memphis, and New York.
Yeah, it's
in
really
Indy,
spread out.
Which
they have 3 days
was
off.
Sunday, Tuesday, and then Saturday, which is a huge advantage to Memphis and the Knicks, I feel like, because they're older teams. But, yeah, I think Memphis is going to win it probably in six at home. I think Golden State will do the same.
Wow. winning in. I mean, yeah.
I'm gonna look to bet Golden State to win in six. See what kind of price I can get on that. I think,
as a prop bet. What do you think a prop bet would be on that?
I don't know. I mean, I think obviously
price. Now, what do you think the series?
San Antonio
price
is still. I doubt you can find one anywhere. But
no, just
if I had to guess. So just to talk about all the series. So the Knicks Pacers, they're -110 going both ways. Thunder versus the Grizzlies. Thunder's +160. Grizzlies -185.
Nice. Yeah, I saw it 150 when I checked.
I think Miami's going to be, you know, unbettable. -2,000 maybe. -1,500.
I think it was close to -1,000 after the first game when they lost.
Yeah. It'll be huge. And then I think San Antonio will be in the -125 range.
Oh, okay.
Honestly.
Wow.
They're going to be favored in Golden State.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I just
it might even actually crazy. No, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be like -250. They're not going to. Golden State's still going to be like a +200 dog.
Crazy.
Which seems crazy to me. Anyway.
All right, Ryan.
What else
is going on?
We got the Derby.
Kentucky Derby. I think. Well,
unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, because Rick Pitino's had a pretty good month. His horse,
Golden Sense,
got pulled up. Ended up finishing in like 18th place, like 50 lengths back. I did tweet out a whole bunch of action. If you took every bet I tweeted out, you won money. I last minute switch. I took Orb as my big bet. I still put some on Golden Sense and Normandy Invasion. But all my trifecta boxes, wheels, exacta boxes and wheels, everything looked great until that four horse did not have the four horse in one bet, so ended up just cashing the win ticket, paid a little bit more than 5-1. It's a nice payday. I don't know. Did you watch the race?
I did.
Stupid. I don't get the fucking hats. That's retarded. And I enjoy the fact that NBC has a horse analyst that's named Randy Moss. That's pretty much all I have to talk about.
It's not much of a takeaway. It is 2 minutes. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Bob right. Costas is there. Everyone's there. Michelle Beadle. They're bringing out the big guns.
Kid Rock. Anything that Kid Rock goes to is a good time. Brian, I don't know if we talked about it when we previewed the Kentucky Derby.
Wait, real quick. You know what? The four horse was a long shot.
What was his name?
Golden Soul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So do you know? Wow. 35-1 is what the number two horse came in. $1 or $2 trifecta paid $7,000.
Wow.
Wow is right. A $2 superfecta, $57,000.
Now that's the first four, right?
Yeah. Even the exacta, $2 paid $1,000, which is huge.
Oh, because the two horse was 35-1.
Yeah. A 5-1 and a 35-1. That's a nice payday.
That is, Ryan. That is. Speaking of nice paydays, Floyd Mayweather cashed in another gigantic payday.
Ka-ching.
And
Let's talk about this.
Hey,
Sean.
Ryan, you know, I'm starting to feel like Floyd Mayweather's baby mama because he just pays my bills with these decisions.
Don't want to brag, but pick the Derby winner. Made some money on that. We did you tweet it out or did we just talk about it on the show that Mayweather and the decision or Mayweather to win in a decision or Mayweather and the over was the
play?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't remember if we tweeted about it. I tweeted about it after it won, I think, definitely. But, yeah, we were all over Mayweather in the over. Like we talked about, there was that one fluke where the guy tried to hug him and he got the knockout. But as of late, his recent boxing career, you can just count it as, and now especially that his dad has been brought back into the fold, they're going out promoting the fact that, hey, it's about extending your career, not taking as many shots. And the people that call him a boring fighter, I don't see that at all. Oh, he's a points fighter. He's just trying to win. Well, A, yes, obviously the guy is trying to win. He has a respect for the game of boxing. It's interesting for me to see a guy pick apart people like that. He strikes, he recoils. He's got amazing defense. I think there's something to be said to having a title fight like that after 12 rounds and your face looking fine.
So as you know, Sean, I often don't agree with your strange love of boxing. But I agree with you 100% in this case. I got into a couple conversations, we'll call them, with folks who were just like, yeah, it was just a boring fight. And honestly, I disagree. I mean, we were watching the fight. We had both had substantial bets on Mayweather to win in a decision. And around the 7th, 8th round, I was nervous. Yeah. I didn't think the fight was going to make it the distance. Luckily, Mayweather broke his hand or whatever happened.
Yeah, well, that's his problem. He has bad arthritis in his hands, and that's what's going to really limit his career.
Luckily for us, that happened because Guerrero wasn't making it through this fight if that doesn't happen.
Popped.
He just stopped punching him with his power hand. So, I don't know. Overall, I honestly thought it was one of the better Mayweather fights I've watched in the last couple years. Last, what, 8, 9 years?
He's entertaining to watch. He's got Lil Wayne singing his entrance song. The guy talks a ton of shit, backs it up.
I mean,
it's entertaining. And, it's just...
He was doing video game moves. He'd fucking slide left, pop him, and then the counter punch, he would just lean back like a video game.
And people say to me, oh, hey, that's boring betting the decision. I want to bet for the knockout. Just from a gambling point of view, Ryan, didn't you get a sweet rush when we're like 9, 10 rounds and he starts picking him apart? And you're like, you want him to beat him up, but you don't want to beat him that? Like, to me, the excitement of betting the decision, I know it sounds bizarre. Normally you want to root for the knockout in boxing. I get it. It's fun, but there is something to rooting for a guy to kick someone's ass, but to do it in a decision. It was entertaining. To that last minute of that 12th round, we're just going, hey, don't hit him too hard. I don't see why that was not an entertaining bet.
Yeah, I don't know, Sean. I hate using this word because it's douchey to use this word. But not wanting to take Mayweather and a decision is a square play. You're just chasing those plus odds. And you know what? You weren't alone. The public drove the price. I mean, Vegas needed Mayweather to win in a decision. That blows my mind. Because what does Mayweather do every time he fights? He wins in a decision. But so many people, all these people that come up from L.A., they want to, they're Guerrero backers because they think he's Mexican or he is Mexican, whatever. Oh, let's bet him. Look at 5-1. He's got a shot. His dad's talking all this shit. He's going to be fat. No, same thing happens in every fight. Mayweather feels him out for the first couple of rounds, maybe even lost one of those rounds. And then, oh, wait, you're not going to touch me for the rest of the fight. So, I don't know. The people, look, in a Mayweather fight, you got to bet that there's a reason why over 11.5 was minus 250 or whatever it was. There's a reason Mayweather was, I mean, honestly, we talked about it before. I personally thought it should have been minus 1,000 on Mayweather. So minus 600 is a ton of value, but I kind of pointed out that even though it's a ton of value, you're still laying a tremendous price. So we kind of came to the conclusion that the play was to take the prop, Mayweather in a decision, minus 200.
Yeah, and we were trying to basically parlay
it's essentially
Floyd
the same
the
price.
Over. But yeah, there actually is a couple different situations where...
Knock him out at the end of the round.
Well, yeah, I think because the over-under set at 11.5 rounds, so I think if the 12th round starts, that might count. And then there is situations where if the fight is stopped because of an injury and you're given a technical... you're given the decision as a win after a certain number of rounds. There's a couple random scenarios that could affect it.
Oh, that's right. It does go to the cards if someone gets poked in the eye, like after the 5th round or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Weird shit happens.
You know what, though? That's not called a decision, Sean. It's called a technical decision. We probably wouldn't have won. There's probably like a field bet.
Who knows? There's probably...
Anyway.
I always like my favorite part of boxing bets is the draw at the prop bet for a draw. I enjoy gambling as much as the next guy, but I can't imagine a state where I would be in where I would bet the draw on a boxing fight. Soccer, okay, I can understand, but boxing match?
I was just about to say, like, betting a draw in soccer can be really exhilerating when you're, same thing, down the stretch, you're just like, no one score.
Well, draws, I feel like, are pretty, I guess they're not super rare, but
in boxing, they're pretty rare.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, hit that. That was a solid Saturday night.
No, solid Saturday for sure. Okay, Ryan, let's see. You want to briefly touch on NHL playoffs?
Yeah. Here's my take on the NHL playoffs. I have no clue what's going on. I know the Kings tied it up 2-2. Because now that LA is hilarious, right? Lakers out. Clippers out. Dodgers suck. Angels suck.
I know. It is bad.
It's bizarre. It's really bizarre out here because I've lived here for 9 years now, and the Kings were the Kings are barely even the fifth team, right? I mean, no one, the Kings fans are actual real fans, but there just aren't a lot of them.
Yeah. No, that is true. The Kings fans aren't every bad Kings fans, yeah. There just aren't that many Kings fans.
Every Kings fan I've met is like a diehard Kings fan, so I'll give him that. And I'm sure some people came out of the woodwork after the championship.
And the game we went to, I had a good time, and the place was rocking. So.
And I don't know if I told this story last show. Maybe I didn't. Tried to go to a Kings game, was going to scalp some tickets. You know how much they wanted to sit in the upper deck, Sean?
For a playoff game?
No. Last game of the regular season.
What were they looking for? When the season's wrapped up?
I guess seating was still at play. They wanted $1.50 for two.
What?
Upper deck. And I looked at them like...
How much were the seats that we got that one time?
Before they were good?
Oh, yeah. I guess that was the year before they won the championship.
Yeah. I mean, look. At the end of
wait. That was the year they won the championship. That was just early in the season.
Yeah, they stunk all year. Remember, they were the eighth seed.
Yeah.
I look at them. I'm like, man... We're talking about the Kings, right? He's like, man, they're the Stanley Cup champions. All right. I ain't paying $1.50. Man, no one wants to pay money for these Kings tickets. What do you think, they print them for free?
Well, Ryan, I'd recommend going to scorebig.com.
Oh.
And working out on something. I think we're going to set up an affiliate thing with them. So
is that a ticket service?
Tuned. Yeah, basically.
Is that the one where you use points to buy tickets?
No.
Okay.
And it's real simple. It's kind of like, I forget, maybe Priceline or one of those travel sites where, okay, so you go on and, okay, I want to sit upper deck at the Dodgers game. It'll say, it'll recommend a price, and then it'll kind of give you a range. It has like a little meter, green or red.
Nice.
Basically like whether or not your bid will be accepted.
So Priceline.
Yeah, kind of like Priceline, but you get to see the meter, so they kind of give you... They say people normally save 25% off face value. Here's face value. So that kind of gives you an idea. Now you place a bid. If the bid's accepted, your card's charged. You get the tickets. You pick them up. It's real easy. If it's not accepted, you have 24 hours, and then you can rebid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So a week out, maybe you want to just keep, you know, send in a couple lowball bids. It doesn't matter.
Sounds like a pretty good idea.
No, and yeah, no, it's. I mean, I did.
They have no affiliation with PayPal, right?
I don't know why.
Because I don't support PayPal companies.
That's right. There's a football pool issue. Yeah. That
don't support anything. Any eBay parent companies, PayPal, nothing. Nope. Don't support fascism.
Yeah, come on! They're killing fantasy football, PayPal.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Good times. I went to a Dodgers game.
Oh.
Did I talk about this last time on the podcast?
No. Which game did you go to?
It's like last week sometime. They lost to the Rockies.
Was Hanley Ramirez playing?
Yeah, he was.
So one of the three games that he came back for before he went back in the DL.
Yeah, he was in the lineup. I was like, oh, Ryan's a fantasy guy. Well, first off, I'll post a video, but they have these.
To Claire, he's a guy on my fantasy team. He's not my fantasy guy. That might be taken the wrong way, Sean.
Couple takeaways from the Dodgers game. One is there are these new futuristic beer cups.
Oh, my goodness.
They have a magnet on the bottom. I'll post a video. But basically, there's a magnet on the bottom. They pop the cup onto the beer tap, and it fills it from the bottom up. And then when you pop it off, the magnet seals the bottom. It's crazy. And I guess the cups obviously cost a little bit more because they have this little magnet wafer thing that locks the beer in. But the concession lady, who I'm sure is a savvy businesswoman, told me that the money they spend on the cups is balanced
out by spillage,
and there's no head. You know how you go to like a Dodger game or any of these baseball games, they like $12 for a beer, and then you get like a giant head that's
or
not
they're scraping
the
it off or you know spilling. Dude, watch the video. You'll probably have the same reaction as you will the first time you see a flying car. It's one of the or maybe the first time we see aliens. I don't know. It's crazy. The first time you watch, you're like, whoa.
You have to watch it like 3 or 4 times.
You're like, wait a second.
It's a weird double take, and it got me excited, Ryan.
And it's kind of like a souvenir cup because the magnet, I'm guessing, had the Dodgers logo on it, yes?
I think Bud Light.
Oh, all right.
But
lame.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't want to do marketing. The Dodger thing. Yeah.
Bud whatever. Light's probably paying for the cups.
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers need money. They got to pay for guys getting their ass whooped and Magic Johnson's health insurance. Now, I took the over Dodgers 4 runs. They get 3 runs in the first 3 innings.
Oh.
One guy on, or Adrian Gonzalez blasts a shot into left field. Web gem, snag, pulls the ball back from over the home run fence, and they don't score again.
Yep. Oh,
it was the
sounds
worst.
About, did you play the home run game?
No. Oh, I don't know if we've talked about that on the podcast, but that is a great game. If you ever go out,
do you remember the exact rules?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I think you just, okay, so you and your buddies, whatever group sitting with you.
I remember the rules now.
Yeah, I think you have an empty cup. When your guy's up to bat, you basically, if he gets a hit.
Well, first you get the cup and you put a dollar in it.
Yeah, you get the cup, you put a dollar in. If he gets a hit, you take all the dollars that are in the cup. If he doesn't get a hit, you pass it to the next guy. So it just goes around in a circle, and basically you either add a dollar, and then you either get the money if he gets a hit, or if he doesn't get a hit, you just pass it to the next guy.
You forgot the best part of the game.
Well, I was leading up
to it. Oh, sorry, Sean.
Well, it's called a dramatic build,
yeah,
right? You don't start with the awesome.
I saw you pausing and getting quiet. I was like, oh, no, did he forget the payoff?
No, the payoff is if you have the cup with all the dollars in it.
Well, it doesn't matter how many dollars.
Right. Okay. If you have the cup and the guy up
get to the point, Green.
Now I'm stretching it out. And the guy hits a home run, you have to buy a beer for everyone in the group. Now that doesn't Now normally that's not a huge thing, but my buddy did that and we only had like 6 guys and it still ended up being close to like
Wasn't it like 8 guys?
It was
2
8.
Random guys were playing with with us.
Yeah, they were like, that sounds like a fun game.
Yeah, next thing
maybe
you know,
they were the ones that told us.
Yeah, they were the guys who showed us the game. 8 beers is like $100 over $100 at Dodger Stadium. So,
man, that was great. Yeah. My buddy was so pissed.
That is a great game.
It is a lot of fun. And then you can also, maybe get like $7 out of it. But the thing is, you got to bring some singles before. Talk to the Cracker Jack guy. Get him to break a wad.
Yeah, you know.
All right, Ryan.
What's your take on the hockey playoffs, buddy?
I don't got any take.
Yeah.
Flyers aren't in it, so I just honestly just didn't get that interested in it, unfortunately.
You know what's going on this weekend, starting
what is
today, I guess, when you hear this, the Players' Championship.
Oh, wow.
Not a major, but
getting up there.
One of the glamorous tournaments. I think it's at TBC Sawgrass.
All right, Ryan, let's real quick, we'll wrap up with that. Give us the top 5 odds and maybe a long shot guy.
All right. I just say we just pick a winner, a couple of winners. All right. But it is at TPC Sawgrass, which famously has that 17th hole, island hole, I believe. Always a fun golf course. I have no idea. Let's see. Sort this by. All right. Field plus 350. Tiger Woods plus 600.
Wow.
Adam Scott plus 1,500. McIlroy plus 1,500. Luke Donald, 20-1. Phil Mickelson, 20-1. I don't know, Sean.
I like Tiger Woods here.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm normally not a guy to bet Tiger Woods or go with the favorite in golf, but I feel like this is kind of an exception. These are the kind of tournaments he's been doing well. I think he gets in his head when it comes to Masters, especially as of late, and he's not quite up to par. But I think he had a decent run at the Masters, or I mean Augusta.
Yeah.
At plus 600, yeah, I kind of like Tiger Woods. I think he's kind of a little bit loose, and I think plus 600, good value for Tiger.
Did a little research, Sean.
Yeah.
As you were talking, not that much research. Davis loved the third. 20 has a 22 rounds at TPC Sawgrass in the 60s.
Wow. What's he at?
I don't even know. He might be part of the field. That's not even worth it.
Yeah, plus 350 for that, for the field. You're getting Tiger double the field.
Yeah, he's in the field. All right. I don't know. I'm gonna go with a guy. Oh man, look at our man Brant Snedeker. I'm gonna take two guys. I might even put a couple of bucks on this just to have something going for the weekend. Couldn't be more random. I'm gonna go, and I saw this on SportsCenter the other day. Bo Van Pelt coming off a top 10.
All right, what's he at?
I'm gonna take him at 40-1.
Oh wow!
And I'm gonna take Matt Kuchar at 30-1.
Nice. I feel like we've wagered before on Kuchar.
Kuchar's Bay Area native, I believe. Went to Stanford. Know a little bit about the guy.
Sounds like a solid play, Ryan.
I like the Bo Van Pelt because he's got three names. There's a slide. Do you know what he looks like?
Is he the hillbilly guy?
I don't know, but with three names, there's a chance you're throwing a lipper in the round, right?
Well, I feel like just there's a correlation between guys named Bo and guys who do chew.
Our guy Duffner, who does do chew, he 50-1. I'm not going to take him, though.
All right. No Duffner. Actually, you know what? Sprinkle a small bet on Duffner, but go big on Woods. I feel like I'm calling the shot Woods.
You're going Woods?
All right, Ryan. And real quick, let's run down some NBA picks for the weekend.
All right. Thursday, last Friday. Thing. This is a popular long shot, apparently. Martin Laird, 100-1. So,
nah, you can't take a popular long shot.
$10. All right.
I'll throw
what's going on this weekend, Sean? Unfortunately, the NBA has no clue how to schedule stuff, so we don't have playoff games tonight, Thursday night.
Oh man.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Well.
But we do have lines for Friday.
Okay.
Actually, well, no, I take that back. We have lines for Saturday. We do not have lines for Friday yet. So Thunder, Grizzlies, Game 3, not till Saturday. Like I said, the Grizzlies will be favored. It's -4.5.
Oh.
Give me... the Grizzlies are going to... Are they really going to lose at home?
No, but I like this... I feel like this. A lot of these games have been real, or the first two games have been really close. I feel like OKC steps it up a little bit. I'm not taking OKC money line, but I like 4.5. Give me the Thunder.
All right, over/under is 188.5. I might just lay the Grizzlies money line -200.
Wow.
I don't think they're losing this game. Knicks +155, +3.5, over/under 184. Pacers money line's -175. You know what I'll do? I do not recommend teases in basketball, especially because you don't get value. You only get 4 points.
It's crazy. This is gonna be the rare exception.
Yeah, you only get 4 points. You get 6 points in football. Explain that to me. Anyway, Knicks +7.5, Grizzlies -0.5. I like that. Yeah, I don't listen to me about the Knicks though. I feel like they figured it out in the second half of that Pacers game.
Well,
I could be wrong.
I think Barkley had the quote of the series when he said, the Pacers can win without one guy being great. So I think that is kind of their strength. And Carmelo, I don't know, man, doesn't seem to be quite in the same gear.
Playoffs. I mean, the big thing is that, you know, they got, what, 20 points a game from J.R. Smith all year, and he's not scoring.
Yeah, so give me the Pacers at home, 3.5.
You know who might come back for some – short minutes in game 3.
Who's that?
Amari Stoudemire.
Really?
Yeah.
So what happened? He's just on the bench and not playing?
He's coming back from a knee injury.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, think about it. There sometimes they struggle because they don't have two scorers on the floor. Throw Amari in there for 5 minutes, a half with the second unit. Play with some energy. Another big body. I don't know.
Second unit.
I think the Knicks get the game they lost back in game 3.
All right. And my prediction, look for Derrick Rose to make an entrance into the series and into the season.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
All right, everyone. Make sure you check out the podcast on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. Rate, review, share us on Stitcher and iTunes. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
Dead giveaway.
Kramer, let it ride.